chasing a Lambo, it's a whole new game.
Welcome to Lombardi's Legends Podcast. Dane here with Wags, as always. The NFL draft came and it went. Wags, the Packers team is going to look a little bit different with some of these new draft picks.
It sure will. And I think we got a good draft here. I'm pretty happy with what we did overall. So we'll dive into this player by player. But for folks that were having some consternation about how we would approach the draft and who we would get to improve the team, I think it was pretty much what we expected. Look, we just taking a step back, we knew that based on their pre-draft interviews, they were going to focus on cornerback, offensive line, and get a receiver, get a linebacker, and get a defensive lineman, and a running back late. That's exactly what we predicted the other day before the draft started, Dane. And sure enough, that's kind of the plan that the Packers followed.
Yeah, and you know, just for full disclosure, we know the Aaron Rodgers situation continues to be going on, but we're focusing on the draft today. So if you want to get a peek into our thoughts on Rodgers as the news broke, go to our Instagram page. We did a Insta Live a couple days ago, had a lot of great engagement with some fans on that. But Wags, I think that we owe it to these young men that are have been drafted, for all of them to focus solely on them today on this podcast. And Wags, how do you want to do this? I'm thinking maybe we just start with round one and talk through and just kind of I'd love to hear your take on the Packers' first round pick here.
So yeah, with the first pick, obviously everyone knows by now we took a cornerback, Eric Stokes from Georgia. And not a surprise for either of us or anyone out there that we went cornerback in the first round. I know that you and I are both have voiced some displeasure that we continue to have to invest early round draft capital into cornerbacks. It seems like we've done quite a few first and second round picks on corners, and Jair Alexander's the main guy that's really worked out for us. But look, this is a high priority position group, and we're going to have to continue to bring talent in. So not a shock at all that we went with Eric Stokes. He's got a lot of great pedigree. Obviously, everybody knows the speed, 4.25 40 in his pro day. He's lined up and played a lot of NFL talent in the SEC. What I like most about him, Dane, is that he doesn't allow a high completion rate. And I think he's a very competitive corner on the outside. He's got some nice size. And I think he's going to compete with Kevin King to be starting right away in week one. So he's going to have to come in and do the work in the rookie orientation and OTAs and camp. But I think we've got a really talented guy and add some additional speed on the outside. So I don't know why anyone would be anything less than pretty excited to add another talented corner to this defensive back group.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some Packer fans out there, you know, got on the Packers for bringing Kevin King back, and then, you know, are saying, well, we need to have a new corner, and then the Packers draft a corner in the first round and spend this capital, and they say, well, no, we wanted to, you know, get a weapon for Rodgers. And it's like, well, this is a weapon for the team. Right. Eric Stokes, I really think this is a good pick. You mentioned, you know, playing against other receivers with a high pedigree. I love his size. He's a 6'1" plus guy. That speed at that size. He has long arms. He's rangy. And Wags, I also really like, I believe he's only played corner for a few years now. So I think that the sky is the limit with this guy. And, you know, you pair him with Jair Alexander. We did bring Kevin King back, Shannon Sullivan, and then obviously Amos and Savage. I love our defensive backfield this season. That gets pretty nasty. And if Stokes is as good as I think he has the ability to be, be and can show up on day one, which I think he can do. Like, real talk, the Packers might have some of the better defensive back groups in the entire NFL. I like the pick. I'm excited about the pick. He's going to wear number 21. I think there's going to be a lot of swag between he and Jaire Alexander next season. Also, maybe gives the Packers opportunity with bringing King back, at times moving Jaire around where they want to, maybe put him in the slot at times. It's going to be very interesting what they do, but bringing Stokes in, it gives this defense another chess piece, and I really, really, really like the selection.
And I'm going to give you kudos, Dane, because you've been saying since the end of this season when we talked about the defensive back and cornerback review for the position group that you were saying we're probably going to re-sign a guy, whether we didn't think it would be Kevin King, but we thought we'd sign a veteran, right, and probably draft a corner in either round one or round two. So for a few months now, that's been kind of something you've been thinking the Packers would do. And sure enough, that seemed to be the plan here. It wasn't a guarantee. I don't think that they were going to go corner in the first round. I think there could have been a couple of other positions. O-line or wide receiver definitely could have been positions they would have taken someone if there would have been a higher rated player available. But either way, not a surprise at all that we went corner in round one. And you've been calling that since the start. So a good call out there. I think it's one other thing with Eric is even if he's not ready to start right away, he's going to contribute. I really think early on, even if he's not starting right away on the outside, but that gives the Packers a lot of extra versatility, not only in case there's an injury, but as you said, they can move Jaire around. They might even be able to move Shannon Sullivan around a little bit. Who knows? Joe Barry seems to really like defensive backs, similar to how Mike Batten did, but this is going to be a little bit of a different defense. So getting some extra talent out on the field, they might want to be able to move, Savage around a little bit as well. So I think getting a talented guy like Eric Stokes is just going to give this defense another chance to take that next step this season. So I'm excited by that pick as well. So let's move into round two then. We took a center, Josh Myers. Obviously, we lost Corey Linsley. I figured we would go O-line, and it could have gone any number of ways. Dane, I was excited that we went with Josh Myers, the center, by all accounts, just a mauler in the run game. And typically, when you're getting the offensive lineman in the second round, in the interior offensive line position, you're getting probably one of, if not the top guy on the team's board. So I don't know if this was the top center on the Packers board, but Josh Myers probably as a value, you're going to get probably one of the best offensive linemen in the interior that's available in the entire draft, because those offensive tackles tend to go in the first round. With the versatility that we already have, with Elton Jenkins and being able to move around basically to any position. We've got, Lucas Patrick and John Runyon on the interior as well. And by all accounts, Josh Myers can play all three interior positions. So I think this pick makes a ton of sense. Sounds like the Packers really, really rated Josh Myers very highly. Just a big kid out of Ohio State. So I really like this pick, but what did you think about Josh Myers, Dan?
Well, Wags, I mean, he comes from the same college Corey Linsley went to, wore the same number, and I don't think that the similarities end there. Obviously, Josh getting drafted a couple rounds higher than Corey was, but you mentioned, the high pick on the board. I know that the Chiefs took a center right after. And then a few picks later, the young man from Whitewater, here, UW-Whitewater, also got taken off the boards. But clearly, the Packers like Josh Myers, and there's a lot to like. He was a two-year starter, but he's also a two-time All-Big Ten pick, right? He's a captain as a redshirt junior. So he shows leadership qualities. He's played at top level for a top university. I really like him. You call him Mahler. I agree. I think that he comes in help solidify this offensive line. And one of the things that I really like about it is that means that I think Elgton Jenkins is very likely going to be able to stay at the guard position, where he has the makings of an all-pro. And if Myers can be what we think he can be, if we have Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers on the left side of the offensive line, that's absolutely nasty. Billy Turner is going to be able to probably kick out, play that right tackle position. Then we're going to watch Lucas Patrick, John Runyon, and maybe a couple others we might be mentioning here later in the draft are all going to be competing for another slot. But I really like what the Packers did here. And you're right, I wasn't sure. Were they going to go? We thought it'd be offensive line, wasn't sure if it'd be a tackle. But to be able to get Myers in the second round is really, really good value. And it really fits, I think, the MO of what the Packers like to do. So really solid pick. Obviously, young man's got to put pads on and show up. But I think he has the makings of a guy who could be a project as a long-term starter for the Packers.
Well, I think we would expect him to compete to be starting right away this year as well. I mean, with the second round pick in a center, that's kind of the expectation. So not to put any extra pressure on him. It is interesting, too. I mentioned the versatility before. I wasn't necessarily thinking center. I guess I was thinking the plan would be, let's put Elgton Jenkins inside a center. I think he showed a lot when they played him there this past season, and maybe they still will. But then you know, you could have Myers at guard. But it's interesting with the versatility that they have. I mean, with Billy Turner and Jenkins and some of these other guys, they were able to go and get a center or an interior offensive lineman in the second round and didn't have to necessarily settle. Not that they couldn't have gotten a good offensive tackle in the second round, but they didn't have to settle for like that 8th to 10th best tackle on the board, and they could get one of the best interior offensive linemen. So the positional versatility that they already had with the guys that they have afforded them the opportunity to go and just get the best offensive lineman they could in round two. So I really, really like that pick. Dane, let's move then. I think the favorite pick amongst Packer fans is we got a receiver. Third round pick, Amari Rodgers out of Clemson. You know, this kid just looks like he's a football player. I know that's a little bit of a cliche, but he makes all the catches. I really like what I see from him on tape. More of a slot guy, but he's physical. He's got really good hands. I like that. I saw a lot of back shoulder catches with him on tape. He can go down the seam. He's not necessarily a burner, but he sometimes – that's a little bit overrated because guys, once they put the pads on, how well do you run your routes? You know, do you have precision and are you still running with that same speed? He looks like he's got some stoutness too. You know, he's not just, you know, a stick out there. Like you got a littler guy, but he looks like he can hold up. I don't have any concerns with his body type that he could be struggling with injuries because of him being a little bit undersized. But I'll tell you what, we've been needing, I think, a player like Amari Rodgers, and I'm not saying he's going to come in and make a huge impact right away early in the season, but we've been needing a player like him for a couple of years, ever since Randall Cobb has left. And I think he has an opportunity to come in and make an impact in a number of different ways.
Wags, I mean, the Randall Cobb comparisons are very abundant and apparent. I mean, it goes down to the fact that Randall Cobb has been serving as Amari's mentor, which is me. This is the son of T, who, you know, I think fans that maybe have been around a little bit, Martin, from his days in college football. So, you know, now his son is here. T Martin was Randall Cobb's coach. So there's all these connections, and he just plays like Randall Cobb. And that's a really exciting thing to think about, right? We saw what Randy was able to do over the years. I'm curious to see, there's been murmurs that Amari could be helpful in the return game as well. I think that he's going to be able to, you know, slot in kind of that motion position within the offense. And I think he can be a lot more than that as well. So, Wags, to your point, he looks tough. He looks like he has good hands. He fits what we do incredibly well. He maybe isn't the big guy that the Packers seem to like, those big-bodied receivers, but that's okay, right? I think that he's somebody who's going to be able to kind of slide in and get some reps. And I expect him, I mean, you always expect your first few round guys to be able to have some kind of impact, right? But looking at what Amari's up to, I just really think that his game translates really well to this Packers offense. Actually similar to like Josiah DeGuara from last year, just fits the offense, fits what LaFleur is looking for. And I expect him to make an impact, you know, early in the season and throughout the season. I really think he has that potential.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting to see, too. I don't know if he's going to be someone that'll compete to be a return man, but certainly he's done that. So I would think he's going to be in the mix there, special teams. And again, if he's someone that can not only potentially give us some looks in the slot as a receiver, but be a return man, and you know, if he kind of takes over that Tyler Irvin motion and can give him some jet sweeps and or just kind of keep the defense off balance, this is a kid that has an opportunity to see an awful lot of snaps right away early in his career. So we'll see how that develops, but I'm excited by this pick, and I think a lot of other Packer fans were excited too. Sure, we didn't get a receiver in the first round, but I think Amari Rodgers, based on what we see on tape and coming out of Clemson, you're going to see a player that's going to be able to contribute pretty significantly, I think, next season. So, Dan, let's move into fourth round. We got another offensive lineman, a tackle, Royce Newman out of Mississippi. Here's a kid that I think won't necessarily be relied on. He'll give an opportunity, I think, obviously, certainly to compete in camp, but I don't think we're looking for him to necessarily step right in and start right away, but I'm going to give Rob Domofsky of ESPN some credit here on this. What's interesting, Packers have had quite a bit of success drafting offensive linemen in the fourth round. TJ Lang, Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton were all fourth round picks. Obviously, certainly multiple Pro Bowls out of those three guys, well known by most Packer fans. So if Royce Newman follows in that trajectory, we could have, a steal here in the fourth round. But what do you think about this pick, Dan?
You know, he fits. He's one of those guys, again, that fits what the Packers like to do on the offense. It gives them options. He was a right tackle in college. I think he's projecting more likely to the inside as a guard. He is a little bit older. He'll be turning 24 before the start of the season. So just, you know, slightly – excuse me, older than I think some of the other guys in the draft class, but he's very, very, very versatile. He's got a little bit of experience playing on the edge as well. Maybe he projects as a right tackle as well. The Packers obviously don't have a ton of depth at the tackle position going into the season as of yet. So it'll be interesting to see where they start to list him. I haven't seen the listing yet of what position they're going to list him at, but to your point, he's going to have a chance in camp to fight for a position. And you know, that kind of draft capital, again, I think the Packers are probably hoping that he's able to stick on the roster. There's something there that they really seem to like in him, but we'll see. I think we're going to want to know if he's going to be a tackler or guard. And then from there, all eyes are going to be on him to see what kind of development he's able to bring to the table.
So in the fifth round, the Packers went back to the defensive side and added a defensive lineman. Tyrell Slayton goes by, yeah. TJ, defensive tackle out of Florida. Huge kid, 6'4", 330. So what
huge
I like about,
wings.
Yeah, what I like about adding someone of his size is that, I think that complements who they have there already. Certainly, Kenny Clark is the mainstay. Kinsley Keke doesn't have quite that size, but he emerged a little bit more of a spot pass rusher last year, and I think he could excel in that role if he's not called upon to get quite as many snaps. And so if TJ is someone that can get out there and compete and get some snaps right away, not only could he potentially spot Kenny Clark a few snaps in some run situations, but I think it gives another look out there for this Packers defense, and it enables maybe them to rotate guys around a little bit more. I don't think we're done with this defensive line. I would think we might even look to add late, maybe a veteran free agent before camp, but certainly TJ is a guy that, just based on his measurables, I think is going to have an opportunity to make an impact here in year one.
Wags, this might be one of my favorite picks of the draft. I really like his game. He's played a ton of football down there in Florida. Played over 45 games, I mean, in college football. Pretty darn impressive. Started 12 this past season. You mentioned his size. I mean, 6'4", 330, known as a run plugger. That's where these guys kind of go, you know, in the draft, unless they're a do-it-all, rush the passer, big guy. You know, they start to go in the, you know, third through the fifth round. I think the Packers had a guy right here. We've had a heck of a time trying to stop the run over the last couple of seasons at times, especially two seasons ago. But last year, it was glaring at times as well. Tried to plug the hole with Snacks Harrison. There was talk that the Packers had an interest in Delvin Tomlinson last season during the trade deadline. I think this fixes that. You know, I'm not going to project this young man to be an all-pro like Snacks was at one point in his career, but they have a similar playing style, similar body type. This guy's got a motor for days. I think that he's going to be able to eat up blockers, you know, two guys at a time. And that's exactly what this defense needs. Kingsley Keke is proven, I think, and he's continuing to develop, but he's going to be rushing the passer, I think. But we needed this big, big body guy that can just, you know, just muck stuff up along the line. And that's what we got here. I love his attitude. I love what he brings to the table. So, Wags, I'm fired up about this one. I was smiling when I was reading some of the reviews on this guy, because I just think that he's going to be exactly what this defense ordered.
For sure. And he's going to get, like I said, a lot of opportunities to compete for some snaps right off the bat. I think he's going to have a chance to crack that lineup, not necessarily, you know, as a defensive starter on the defensive line, but those guys rotate out quite a bit. So I think if he shows, he's going to be given some early opportunities to contribute. So we stay defense with our second round five selection, Shamar Jean Charles, corner out of Appalachian State. And some folks might have been surprised that we doubled up at corner. I'm not at all, considering we had four guys in for pre-draft interviews that played a cornerback position. Two of them were that were slated to go in late round one or early round two, and two more that were slated to go in that round four, round five window. So it seemed pretty apparent that we were going to double up at the corner position. I think this is an interesting pick in that, you know, I'm not going to say I know a lot about this kid. However, I think that anytime you get someone out of a smaller school like Appalachian State, you know that they're going to be extremely competitive and have the ability to continue to develop. There's nothing given to them. They just love football. So I don't know him personally, but that's pretty universal when you get a kid like this. And I think it's also interesting that it gives some additional competition. Look, neither Josh Jackson nor Kadar Holman were active at the last few games of the season. They were healthy scratches. So both of those guys have been part of the 53 for the last few seasons. And I don't think that what that says is that their position on the roster is far from guaranteed going into camp. Everyone's going to have to compete for a spot. And, you know, you're going to better be able to contribute in multiple ways, not only at a defensive side, but a special team when you're one of these guys that's going to be the last couple of spots in a position group. So, if nothing else, I think it makes sure that we're getting the very best guys out there in this cornerback position group. So I'm not sure if he will definitely make the roster. We've got a deep, deep cornerback and defensive back room, but I like this pick, and I'm not surprised at all that Goody doubled up on the cornerback group.
Wags, to your point, I mean, this definitely puts Josh Jackson, Kadar Holman on notice, right? I think that's just the case, because he is going to come in and compete. And now he's an interesting guy, right? He's a little on the shorter side, just kind of judging by him, the kind of the 5'10" range, give or take, could be more of a slot guy as well. But I love, the stats of broken up passes. He broke up 17 passes last year. That led all FBS players. Pretty remarkable stat when you think about it. Now, you know, there are some drawbacks if you're looking at measurables. Maybe not the most fluid athlete. However, some guys are just good football players, you know, and these guys have different styles. So I'm just going to kind of put the name out there, but Micah Hyde, maybe not the greatest athlete, quote unquote, but man, he made a lot of splash plays for the Packers and is still doing his thing in Buffalo right now. You know, you can take some of these cone drills and other things with a grain of salt, because I think some guys can just play good football. And I think that might be what we have here in Shamar. Now, only time will tell, but I'm guarantee he's going to come to camp. He's going to compete. Now, you know, as we start talking about guys further down in the draft, I think that we always need to put an asterisk that they got to show up on special teams as well if they're going to stick. But the Packers clearly saw something. They deviated a little bit from what they normally look for in their prototypical cornerback. So they clearly saw something there that they liked enough to pull the trigger and draft him. I'm excited to see him in camp, and I really just want to see where they put him as well, because I really do see him maybe in the slot side. I don't think he's going to be bumping Shannon Sullivan anytime soon, but I do think that he might be able to get some reps just on the defensive side of the ball, and especially in special teams.
For sure. And so then with the second, the first round six pick, since they had two picks in the sixth round as well, they took Cole Van Lannen out of Wisconsin. Tackle, and he could play tackle or guard in the NFL. Certainly a good feel-good story, a Green Bay native, went to University of Wisconsin, so local kid, which is really awesome for him. So it's super cool for him and his family to have the opportunity to play for the Packers. And so were you surprised at all, though, that they took three offensive linemen in the draft? I think one of the things about Cole that certainly they're going to like is, again, they're going to get as many of these offensive linemen in camp as they can compete. There's going to be 9 or 10 of them making the 53. They love the versatility. Certainly, we don't know if Bakhtiari is going to be ready to go in camp. We had a bunch of guys that we drafted last year that I think are going to have every opportunity to compete again and make the roster. A couple of guys that weren't on the roster last year and Hansen and Stepaniak are going to be probably coming in hopefully fully healthy and having a chance to compete as well. So we've got a lot of young guys that have been drafted on this offensive line in the last couple of years. We've got, I think, a pretty clear top 5 or 6, but we've got some interesting battles, I think, that are going to be lined up here. Adding Cole Van Lannen, I think, to the mix is going to be a lot of fun to see these guys battle this out in camp.
Wags, I mean, do you see the parallel I see with John Runyon Jr. from last season? You know, kind of coming in, Big Ten football player, a big guy, a left tackle in college, might play guard in the NFL, but could also potentially play on the outside. You know, not, and just taking away the fact that he's a Wisconsin kid, I'll tell you what, he's a good football player. We've watched him play for a number of years at Wisconsin. And I think that I'm not surprised that they went three deep. You know, that's 2 years in a row now. So we've had six offensive linemen in the last 2 years, but I'm not surprised by it, especially you've got to wonder if they were kind of looking at each other when he was still on the draft board and they went, well, shoot, you know, he can play football. You can't really go wrong with Wisconsin offensive linemen historically either, but I really, really like this selection. I think that he'll be, you know, able to compete at a number of slots. They might ask him to try to play four different positions. Right. And I think that that might be his best chance to earn a slot on the 53. But exciting story. It'll be fun to watch. Definitely going to be a fan favorite. But all the you know, feel good stuff aside, I think he can play. I think he can play. In the draft, I think he has options. John Runyon did, and you know, last season Runyon was able to come in a pinch and look like a veteran. And I'll tell you what, I think that Van Lannen has the same kind of upside.
So then, with the second pick in the sixth round, the Packers went back to the defensive side and took a linebacker. And just like they've done the last few years, they've invested in the inside linebacker group on day three. So it's not a surprise that they added Isaiah McDuffie out of Boston College, maybe not him particularly, but a linebacker in day three. We certainly expected that that would be something they would do after Christian Kirksey departed. So he gets added to the mix with Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes. I think he's going to be someone that not necessarily you expect to compete to start right away, but he's going to be someone that's probably going to have an inside track to earn an opportunity to be on the roster. He's going to have to play special team just like all these guys do. But I think it's one of those things that the Packers, there's some vocal, I think, minority of fans out there that think the Packers should take an inside linebacker on the first or second day here one of these years, and maybe they will. I think that that says that they're pretty comfortable with who they have, but also obviously wanted to add another guy to the mix here. So what did you think about Isaiah McDuffie as the selection?
You know, I hear the fans, you know, that would like to see a high round pick and middle linebacker, but I'll tell you what, Kamal Martin, I thought played really good football after coming back from, off the IR last season. And Chris Barnes, you got to give these guys a chance too, right? Maybe they hit already on one or both of those guys. I thought that they both looked really, really fluid at times, played really good football. Did they look like rookies at times? Yeah. But did they also they weren't an eyesore either in the middle of this defense. So I think that you can maybe expect a bit of a leap from year one to year two from those guys. So now looking at somebody like an Isaiah McDuffie, a little undersized, right? He's listed in the 220-pound range. But what he lacks, I think, in size, he makes up for in speed. I think his game is a speed game. He's definitely rangy, flies around the field a little bit, a former teammate, and now again, teammate of AJ Dillon. I love his competitive nature. He was asked, I saw already, they're like, who'd win in a hamburger drill? You or AJ Dillon? He's like, well, what do you expect me to say, guys? It's gonna be me. I love it, right? Like, it's cool. I think that he's going to be, he's got to earn the spot, right? And he's going to be competing, with Kamal and sure with Chris, but also with Ty Summers, right? And this Packer team will carry potentially four inside linebackers, maybe not. It shows in how much they show up on special teams as well. But there could be a spot for Isaiah. So curious to see. I haven't watched a lot of tape on him yet, but from all appearances, what I can tell is he's a fast guy. He's a guy who isn't afraid to hit. And those are two things that are always a plus in my book, Wags.
And you've got to think that Joe Barry was pretty instrumental in how this pick got taken. I mean, once you get into the sixth round, Joe Barry, he's been, you know, he's made his bones as a linebacker coach in between coordinator stints. So you've got to figure he knows what he wants and he knows who he can develop. He's taken some guys that aren't necessarily named players and developed them into pretty quality NFL starters. So not only with the guys that he has to work with coming back, but I have to figure that he had quite a bit of input in this selection as well. So that alone, I think, is something to keep an eye on. So, Dane, that leads us to the last pick. We knew they would take a running back. And finally, in round 7, on day 3, we knew they would get at least one running back. Kylan Hill out of Mississippi State is who they selected. Has a lot of comparisons to Jamal Williams, the guy that complimented Aaron Jones the last 4 years. So, he's a physical runner, can catch the ball out of the backfield. By all accounts, it's pretty polished as a pass blocker at the college level. So, we needed to add some depth to this running back group. And so not a surprise at all that they made a selection here with Kylan Hill. What do you know about him and what do you think about this selection?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, they're projecting him. He could potentially even have a kick return ability for the Packers. But everything I'm reading about him, he seems to have pretty soft hands. Jamal Williams, right? You tough tackle breaker. Jamal Williams. He's kind of got a similar vibe, and even down to the fumble situation. I think he had one fumble in all of college. Jamal Williams was notorious for being a good ball carrier and taking care of the football. So, Wags, I mean, I'm really Goody. On day 3, after they drafted him, he's quoted as saying, "We're kind of holding our breath. We were surprised that this guy was still on the board this late." It's exciting. Now, he's buried a little bit on the depth chart right now, right, with both Aaron Jones and with A.J. Dillon. However, the Packers have shown that be surprised if we're looking for that third running back right now. There's going to certainly be some competition in camp. We might see some undrafted guys come in as well. But Kylan Hill was very, very productive in college, and he played at a good school, played at Mississippi State. Wags, he had 1,300 plus yards and 10 touchdowns in 2019, breaking a ton of tackles, 100 plus tackles broken in his college career. There's probably some reasons he's there that late, but at the same time, seems like a great fit for Green Bay. Seems like the kind of runner that the Packers like. Hard nose. We'll find a hole, we'll one cut, and he'll find, try to get some yards out of it. So excited to see what Kylan can do in camp. I'm really glad that we're actually going to be able to have a camp this year so we can start to see these guys with our own eyes. But really nice selection this late. I mean, Wags, were you surprised that he was still on the board this late? Because it's a little surprising. I think he does have that next level talent.
For sure. And you said it. I mean, he was very productive for his career. Over 2,500 yards, 21 touchdowns. So in the SEC, you're going to get a good quality player anytime you're talking about someone that had that level of production. So I'm excited by this pick. And, knock on wood, we've been extremely fortunate in the health department with our running back group the last couple of years. It's not a stretch to think that he could get some looks if there's any injuries between Jones or Dillon at any time, even for a game or two. He could be in line to get some work this season if he does emerge from camp as that number 3 running back. He may not be active as a number 3 running back. A lot of times they only carry 2 on game day, especially. But I would expect that if nothing else, he's going to have the opportunity to get called up and get some time and get some carries if he does emerge as that number 3 guy. So this is important. It's not like he's going to be a starter, but it is important to make sure that we've got some good depth in that running back position. So I'm excited that he was there and we were able to snap him up on that third day and before the draft wrapped up. So, Dane, that does it with our drafted players. We had a lot of fun with our undrafted free agent selections last year. So we're going to do a separate pod talking about those guys. It's always a lot of fun to dig into that. That's one of my favorite pods that we do every year. Certainly these guys that we took in the draft, we expect most, if not all of them, will be part of the program here next year. It doesn't always work out that way, but usually the draft, when you get drafted, you're probably going to have a pretty good inside track to making the roster or even at least being on a practice squad in year one. What's interesting about those undrafted guys, what's a lot of fun, is there's always at least one or two that are a surprise. So I love digging into those guys a lot. So I will look forward to having that come out sometime this week. I think we'll let things kind of play out here, and then we'll dig into that and give those guys a spotlight and make some predictions on who we think could pop and potentially make a run at making a contribution a la Chris Barnes last year. So, Dane, any other closing thoughts on the draft?
Wags, just really promising draft. I know it was overshadowed potentially by some of the other stuff that's going on in Green Bay, but I'll tell you what, a lot of young talent coming in here. This is a very, very, very good football team that just got better. I think that they selected not only talent, but also some need positions. They filled some holes. And Wags, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for OTAs now. I want to start hearing some reports and seeing how these guys start to look. They're going to be digging into the playbooks and, you know, the team is starting to come together here. So I just good draft. Now we get to see what these guys are actually going to show on the field. And I'm excited for it. And you know how it is, these off seasons, man, I feel like they get longer and longer. I'm ready for some football and some of this noise to maybe go away.
I couldn't agree more. So thanks folks so much for listening. Let us know how we're doing and certainly check out, we'll try to get another Instagram live. I know these are a little bit more sporadic in the off season, but we'll get some additional content coming out here soon. So thanks so much. And as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.